Good morning. It's Friday, June 17th, 2022. In closing last week, I mentioned that in the weeks to come, we would continue to work on the words we speak, and more specifically, our words to God, our words to ourselves, our self-speak, and our words to others. You know, we have scriptural knowledge that our words have the power of life or death. We've been looking at that for several weeks now, even months. I think of the lyrics by Toby Mac for his song Speak Life, and they just move through my mind and soul. All the words are fantastic, and but the words to the chorus go, "Speak life to the deadest, darkest night. Speak life when the sun won't shine and you don't know why. Look into the eyes of the brokenhearted. Watch them come alive. As soon as you speak hope, you speak love, you speak life." Those are just remarkable, wonderful ministering words. And by utilizing the power of the tongue to speak life, we actually manifest our love for God, for ourselves, and for our neighbors. It's a noble endeavor. We know this to be the truth. We know that speaking life is God's will. But I guess our question always is, what can we do as believing ones to increase our odds that we will fulfill His will? So today, before we begin looking at words we speak to God, words we speak to ourselves and others, in the weeks to come, today we'll look at calibrating the compass of the heart. We've all heard the term moral compass. It's an abstract term, and it refers to one's core values. And core values are what guides kind of behind the background of our mind. It guides our ethical behavior and helps us in our decision-making, or it should help us in our decision-making. In the case of a literal compass, it has a magnetized needle at its heart that aligns it horizontally with the Earth's magnetic field. You might think, what could go wrong? Well, when there is a magnetic field stronger than that of the Earth, it can cause the needle on the compass to jump around. It causes the heart of that compass to become unsettled and unfounded, and the results will lead you in a wrong direction. Experts even warn hikers against. They say, don't blindly trust your compass. They advise checking and recalibrating the magnetic compass before depending on its accuracy. Now, if we think of our spiritual heart as a compass, it too may need some recalibrations along the way. You know, that's why the admonition of Proverbs 4:23 is so strong about guarding our hearts. It says, above all else. Obviously, our recalibration is done by thinking and living the Word of God. And we desire that the compass of our spiritual heart is running true, running horizontally with the Word of God, with the will of our Father. Everything in life is made up of spiritual components. There's always spiritual components involved, and there are an endless number of spiritual options available in the world that are very much outside of God's nature of love and light, and there are some that are very cunningly deceiving, that look like they have some light to them, but they're going to lead us to a place where there is lack of light, lack of love. So the core values in our heart are to be calibrated to the Word of God. Other than God's Word, honestly, We know this. There is no other defining document for pure love and pure light, for speaking life, for living righteously, for attaining knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And following this through, it will become clear that everyone has a compass inside of themselves. And it should become even more clear that not all of those compasses are calibrated to God's instructions for good. God gave freedom of will to believe what you will. And he went on record in Deuteronomy that he wants everyone to choose life. He says, choose life. However, with the exercising of the freedom of will, each person's compass becomes calibrated by the belief system they adopt. And that belief system comes about as they are drawn to think certain ways about certain things. The systems of this world are designed to magnetize or draw us to them. So in a sense, when we draw near to those ideas, those thoughts that would lead us to a belief system, and we entertain those thoughts and we consider those thoughts, we can end up in an ungodly destination. Much different than what we had originally desired, for sure. And in the case of a literal hiker's compass, the needle may not respond to the Earth's magnetic field because it gets interrupted by a stronger magnetic field, like all the magnetic instruments that we have in vehicles these days, or cell phones, or even fasteners on clothing and shoes, or magnetic jewelry. Any of those things, and many others, can throw the magnetic needle into a tizzy and cause it to give false results. You know, you can end up in a place you did not want to go. And it's the same with the spiritual compass within our hearts. Here we are, joyously moving along day by day, loving God, and oh, someone tells us about something, and or maybe we read about some effort in society and they render such a good reason, and there's just this little magnetism of interest there, and it begins to pull our needle in its direction. And maybe for a few days, we just kind of cool off thinking about the word, and because we are just so drawn to entertaining this new thing that we've heard, this new idea. You know, we dwell on it. We begin to see that it makes so much sense. It has to run correct with the word. It's just a fabulous idea. And then we start to draw near to that idea. And Proverbs 5 really speaks beautifully to the magnetic force of the wisdom that does not come from God. Verse 1, this is going to be in the New King James Version. And again, we recall that in the book of Proverbs, the wisdom of God is likened to the virtuous woman, and the wisdom of the world to the immoral, the strange woman, or as she is often called, the harlot. So in verse 1, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to understanding. So God is saying, draw nigh to me. Be drawn to me. Verse 2, that in order that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. I mean, she is all dolled up to look like the real deal. Her kindness, she just drips with honey. and her voice is just smoother than oil. You know, any kind of proclaimed wisdom, kindness, from other than God, it's just designed to seduce people. The seductive words are uniquely used to get our spiritual compass needle considering other directions as options. Verse 4, we'll pick it up. For in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her feet lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder the path of life, lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable. You do not know them. See, and God's testimonies are not unstable. In Psalm 19, verse 7, it reads in the New King James, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." God's word is without blemish. That's what perfect means. It is upright, complete. There's nothing missing. It is wholesome, sound, full of integrity. You know, these are all other words that define what perfect is. It's all of those things put together and more, because what language could really describe the perfection of the law of the Lord? It will fine-tune, it will calibrate your spiritual compass so that the needle will draw you into one accord with the Father and keep you there. It will lead us in the right direction. We will be so finely tuned because the law of the Lord is perfect. And it converts the soul. It will recalibrate. It will bring us back. It will bring us back to His intended direction. It is sure. That means it is faithful. The law of the Lord is sure. It is faithful. It is verified, steadfast, unmovable, meaning that in no way is it unstable. And God's word will fill the simple, naive-hearted person with His wisdom. With this knowledge in our mind, verse 7 continues, "Therefore hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth." Draw nigh. Don't depart from God's words. You know, don't go off reading some article or somebody tickling your ear with a concept and you dwell on it like you're studying it and evaluating it. No. When we draw nigh, when we do not depart from God's word, we will be led accurately in a right direction in all of our decision making. Verse 8, remove your way. Not only don't depart from God's word, but remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. Because it is a gravitational pull. There's a magnetic force there that's smooth as oil, that drips with honey. It draws us. Don't get the compass of your heart close to that pull. Avoid it. Go around it. Toss out thoughts that would bring you to this neighborhood. In verse 9, lest, because this is what's going to happen, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. You know, it's not a pretty picture when all that God has blessed you with, has blessed us with, gets turned over to infidels to promote their ungodly purposes. They'll accept it. They'll take everything we're willing to give them. Our thoughts, our time, our money, our families, our love, our good reputations, our righteous way of living. They will take all of that from us and devote it to their own endeavors. But there will come a time when we will realize that the needle of our compass got caught up, that caught us up and has drawn us into the magnetic pull of another wisdom contrary to God's incomparable wisdom. I mean, whatever that pull is couldn't even be compared to God's wisdom because there's no comparables. And really, that's what we call learning the lesson by experience. Or we've all heard, oh, I learned this through the school of hard knocks. That's where I got my degree. But that's not God's recommendation. That's not how believers have to live. No. We started out in Proverbs chapter 1, that the fear of the Lord was the beginning of knowledge. Absolutely. And you follow that trail, you get wisdom. He gives us understanding. Knowledge is one thing, and we all know these truths. We've been reading them for years, and in our ongoing subject of the power of the tongue, we know what the Word says about our words. We have the information, and even more, we know that it's true. But to avoid learning life's lessons through these ugly and hurtful experiences, we can determine to be watchful over our words. We can experience being godly woke and observant to the thoughts entering into the lobby of our minds. And we do that because we can know the Word of God. We can think those thoughts. We can hide those thoughts in our hearts. Those thoughts in our hearts that are hidden away calibrate our compass. And when those unseemly thoughts enter to get our needle jumping and they want to take us to their destination, as they enter the door, we can kick out the ones that would tamper with the needle of our spiritual compass. That is guarding the heart. And neglecting the care of our spiritual compass will allow for magnetic disruptions on our journey. And we don't have to have those. And if allowed, those intrusions will send our spiritual compass needles wheeling round and round. I'm sure through the years, I know I have, but all of us, I'm sure, have had love and admiration for fellow believers. But when it comes to keeping our spiritual compass truly Godward, it all boils down to our personal accountability. I am the one responsible for my compass. And my compass determines how I will carry out the instructions, the tenets of God's Word. Everybody may live comfortably at their own level of obedience. People might pick and choose from God's instructions and wisdom, the things that they want to do and kind of find a rhyme and a reason why they don't need to do certain things. And you know what? God gave them freedom of will to do as they choose. But you know what? We can set our compasses, the spiritual compass in our hearts, to not allow those freedoms and to believe that we are free in Christ to attain, to fulfill everything that God has said, knowing that our reward will be great and a great blessing in this life, and also eternal rewards for trusting in Him to do the things that might not make sense to the senses mind. You know, don't get watered down on the will of God and lose the integrity that you've built in yourself. Because really, our concord, our agreement, our like-mindedness with other people is supposed to be on the truth, not on personalities, not on how much phileo, love, or admiration you might have for the person in certain categories of their life. And who knows? The Word certainly teaches us that our example of godliness shines bright, and it can bring the tender-hearted back to the truth. You know, it's iron sharpening iron, in the correct sense. Directional compasses, the literal compass that hikers use, they're precision instruments, and they should be stored well away from other magnetic devices. A really reliable compass will always have a tight cover to offer greater protection from those other magnetic fields that would confuse the needle at the heart of that compass. And it's the same with the spiritual compasses in our hearts. We invest ourselves into protecting the accuracy in the center of that spiritual compass. David said it well in Psalm 73, verse 28 in the King James, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." He declared them verbally. He declared them in his living. All thy works. There it is. We draw near to God and trust his words. He calibrates our belief system. The Holy Spirit works our core beliefs so that the spiritual compass in our heart is ever moving us toward the Father. In Jeremiah 29:13, King James, God says, "And ye shall seek me," and guess what? "Find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." God is always for us. He never thinks or works against us. He only works love, good, light, godliness, mercy, grace, peace, all things good, all things perfect. That's what he wants for us. So when you consider James 1, verse 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted." You know, when we're drawn, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." So, when I'm drawn away, what is missing in my diet that has made me hungry to follow that thought down a rabbit hole? No. We don't have to be tempted with evil. Because it says in the next verse, verse 14, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust." What is missing in his diet that makes him need, hungry for something else? And enticed, it says. Verse 15, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." You know, the investment we make through our regular and personal intervals of study, meditations, prayers, and living rightly to guard our spiritual compass will, in companionship with the Holy Spirit at work within us, direct us accurately to our desired destination. Our fellowship with God is a premium worth. So we handle our hearts with great care and vigilance. Because you know what? Just like the hiker's compass, the spiritual compass of our heart is a precision instrument. That is something to ponder. I want to close by reading Proverbs 4:23 from various versions and translations. They all give a little bit of a different focal point, and they're all really wonderful to read. So in the New Living Translation, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. It's a precision instrument, right? It determines the course of your life. In the Expanded Bible, be careful what you think. Above all that you guard, protect your heart. Because your thoughts run your life. Life flows from it. Then, in the Voice translation, above all else, watch over your heart. Diligently guard it, because from a sincere and pure heart come the good and noble things of life. The Complete Jewish Bible reads this way, and above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. And then I want to add, it is also the source of life's blessings. That's the intention. In God's Word translation, guard your heart more than anything else because the source of your life flows from it. And I'll close with the one from the Message Bible. They've included not only verse 23, but a few more verses following if you look these up. It says, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right nor left, and I love this, leave evil in the dust. So hopefully you'll enjoy delving further into these things for a spell. And now in the next few teachings, we're going to begin looking at the Word to calibrate our words to God, our words to ourself, which is our self-speak, and our words to others, so that we can speak life to the deadest, darkest night. God bless you.